The word love. By the way, happy Valentine's Day. Why don't you look to someone close to you and say, God loves you. And you can either, if I don't want to provoke nobody to lie, but you say, look at them and say, I'm trying real hard. Love. It's a word that could be misused. It's a word that I want us to experience this morning. You know, if I look at it and I say, how was your or is your relationship with your dad or your mom? There's a memory that may have been downloaded in your mind that still is there prevalent about a love or a lack of love, mom or dad. And it stirs up emotions within us. That beginning of love or lack of love had an effect on your journey and on your life even today, whether you suppressed it or you're made aware of it. Then those years where you begin to build relationships with others, maybe others at your same age, and it affected the way that you love or you accepted love on your journey. And then school happened and the church life, and all those things give us a perspective of love relationships, doesn't it? There is a desperateness. There's a desperateness for love and affection with every one of us. There's a love that is patient, a love that is kind, a love that's unconditional. And that's the Father's love for you. Father's love just for you.
If there is one thing I want you to know, it is that of a father's love. A love that existed before you were even formed in your mother's womb. A love that's power and depth is immeasurable. A love that is patient and kind. A love that will always protect, trust, hope, and persevere, no matter the circumstance. I know everything about you. And marvel at our likeness. I watch as you grow, fearfully and wonderfully, into the woman you were created to be. Even though my answers may not always be clear, I will always listen as you question and wonder about this world. But never lose sight of the beauty around you, and never forget the imperishable beauty you have within. Where the world will deceive you and define beauty differently, but my desire is for you to see yourself the way that I see you. There will be a time when the pleasures of this world will seem more desirable than my love. You will face the temptation to find satisfaction in the shallow promises others will offer. And when you come to the end of yourself, when you feel like all is lost, know that I am there. My unfailing, unimaginable love overcomes every bad choice you will ever make. I love you, not because of the things you've done or are going to do. Not because of your beauty or your talents or skills. I love you because you are my daughter. So, above all, my prayer is this. That you allow my love to be written into the deepest parts of your soul. Let it shine bright in the times of darkness, and use it to guide your footsteps as you walk in grace, humility, and kindness. I will remain by your side wherever life's journey takes you. May my words comfort you in times of loneliness. May they ring loud in times of blessing. May they whisper peace in times of chaos. And may they speak truth in times of doubt. So that when the things of this world fade and turn to dust, one thing remains, a father's love. A love that will not cease because you are my daughter.
You have been created to be loved as well as to love others. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus speaking to us speaking to the disciples here. And he's about to tell Peter that he's going to deny him three times. As it was leading up to the story where Jesus was going to be upon the cross and all the agony that he was going to suffer and bleed and die for you and I. And he tells us in verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." That also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Almighty God, in a world that's saturated with abuse and hurt and selfishness, motivated by false love, we desire this morning, God, to experience your true love for each of us. And as you love us this morning, I pray that you would call people to repentance and to return to their first love, that being you. I pray, Lord, as you love on some this morning that is confused and searching, that God, that you would love them to yourself and that they would come to know you as Savior, asking for forgiveness and realizing that you are forgiving them and that they can place their trust and faith in you, because all that you love them, you have purposed in your heart and in the play that you purpose in their heart, that love that you have for them. May this day, Lord, you be glorified and lifted up, and may we rise up loving you more and loving others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God, he thinks that you're beautiful, and he does not want you to fall into the pleasures of this world and to fall into false love. He does not want you to substitute his love with the world's love. He doesn't want you to go through the pleasures of this world that is unsatisfying. He wants you to experience his love because he created you. And I want you to know this morning that his love is unfailing. His love, folks, is unfailing. There is so much satisfaction and fulfillment in experiencing God's love for you. God went to the greatest extreme to love you so that you may have a personal relationship with him. The greatest extreme of any time. This aggressive love that we want to talk about this morning, the aggressive love to love and to be loved. You see, today in our culture, most people go to extreme measures to get attention, to be loved, and to love others. It's unfortunate to see so many people today seduced into a false love that never satisfies. And they sometimes, when they're going through that, they think they have it all together. They think they have all the answers and they know what they want. And they cannot see because Satan has blinded them. And they have disconnected from the one who truly loves them. That can be family. And obviously, disconnect from God. Because they think, and Satan has them seduced into this. And they try to buy someone's love. They try to dress for success, if you know what I mean, to get attention. They go to great measures for their outward appearance. And even go as far as to post pictures of themselves enhanced or even exposed. That's false love. God loves you just for who you are. Unconditional love. And people, as we love one another, we should do the same. Love unconditionally. You don't have to measure up to this or perform to this or look like this, that they love you just because of you. Spiritual adultery is so rapid in our area. Adultery has become the norm in Christians today. Tolerance is to place everything and everyone else before God. I'll give you an example of what I mean by spiritual adultery. The spouse who cheats on you thinks more about themselves and their own pleasure rather than their commitment and love to you. It breaks your heart, causes you to distrust, causes you great pain and confusion, and sends you into a tailspin. And you don't know what to do. And you call out to friends and you look for answers and you call out to God, why? What did I do? Or what could I have done? And so you're looking for answers of why someone cheated on you, committed adultery. So, when you treat God like that, the one who truly loves you, how do you think He feels about that? That deep desire within each one of us to love and to be loved. When we go to great lengths and measures, sometimes causes pain, brokenness, abuse, addiction, abandonment, and gives us a false sense of true love. This experience causes guilt, causes shame, makes us feel unworthy, and sometimes those emotions can be suppressed. Sometimes this causes disconnect, distrust, causes anger, and a spiritual and spiral downturn. This experience also puts up walls of distrust. And they put those walls up and say, I'll never let anybody come inside of this again because I did that once before and it hurt. I was broken and I have a hard time trusting. So the walls, those little bricks that builds that wall up of distrust, never allow someone to get that close. But I want to introduce you to someone that His love is unfailing, that you can totally, totally trust Him in His love for you. And that's God the Father. That's the Father's love. That desire for spiritual aggressiveness to love, you may or may not know it, but it has drawn you here today or watching today. Please know and accept the love of God and His affection for you. How can I be spiritually aggressive toward love? How is that? You're in pursuit of God's love. That's really what you're looking for. To be loved by Him and accepted and affectionately loved. And once you accept that, you begin to look at others differently and you begin to love others differently. And when you're spiritually aggressively looking for that love, you have to go to God's Word because that's the story of love. That's His love letter to you. This is how much He loves you, because from Genesis all the way to Revelations, there's a crimson line that says, I love you so much that I gave my only Son, Jesus, for you, that I can have a personal relationship with you. You will never be able to go through this world without sin. And that's why I sent my Son, Jesus, for you. That sacrifice. You're looking for true love. You're not looking for cheap substitutes. You're looking for true love. See, substitutes and cheap substitutes is never satisfied. You go through it and then you're like, what else? And you keep trying to reproduce it. And God's love is unfailing. It keeps on going. You're looking for someone who values you, who feels that emptiness and completes you. I think it may have been the Jerry Maguire movie or something that when two people meet there and he looks at her and he says, you complete me. I got a Greek farm term for you. Bull. Only Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him will complete you. God the Father loves you beyond measure. He went to extremes to love you and sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, for you. And He alone is the one who can complete you. The promises of God's love and forgiveness are as real, as sure, as positive as human words can make them. Billy Graham said, just as the total beauty of the ocean cannot be understood until it is seen, God's love cannot be understood until you experience it, until you actually possess it. No one can fully describe the wonders of God's love until you've met Him and experienced Him. Remember the woman that just wanted to touch the hem of His garment? Remember the woman at the well? I had to come out in the heat of the day when nobody else was there. Remember those men that was getting ready to stone a woman and Jesus was writing on the ground? Go and sin no more. Do you see God's love? In Romans 8:28, we see that and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. And He's calling you today to know Him and to experience His love. He wants you to experience His love. Then in verse 35 out of Romans 8, we find, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril? Or sword? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, can it? God's Word says it. That settles it. Most people misunderstand God's love or never experience God's love. In 1 John, over and over, God says, He is love. And everyone that loves is born of God. If you don't love, you're not born of God. You've never experienced, you can't offer somebody else something that you've never experienced yourself. God is love. And that does not mean that everything is sweet, that everything is happy, that everything is beautiful, and that God's love cannot possibly, not possibly, punish sin. That's not true. Not true. God loves you. He sent His only Son, Jesus, for you. But He has to punish sin because He is holy. He is just. He's not like any kangaroo court you'll ever watch. Hello? He is just. And don't misunderstand what God's Word says about sin, about punishment. He's faithful. He is just. And yes, He is love. And here's the design that God has. You being on the throne and you expecting God to submit to you what your wants are is sin and cannot have peace with God. When you say, God, I want, you're not placing Him on the throne of your life. You're placing Him there and you're on the throne of God. You're on the throne that God should be on. And you're saying, God, I want this, I want You to do that, and I want to be happy, and I want this, and I want that. And you're on the throne. your life is going to be in disharmony. You're not going to be at peace. It might be for a short period of time, but the day will come that God will come walking in the cool of your day. You are not designed to be on the throne because you're not God. When you place God on the throne and you submit to Him, there's peace, there's love, there's harmony, and you begin to experience the love of God like you've never experienced it before. That has no but in it. God on the throne, you submitting to Him. It's not, but God, I've did this before. I know how I'm supposed to. But God, did you see what they did to me and you want me to love my enemy? But God says submit to Him. Let Him be on the throne. Let Him be the one that controls. Because when He's in charge, He's in charge. It's going to be good. It's going to be His plan in His time. God is holy. God is just. And because of His holiness, it demands that all sin be punished. But God's love provided a plan from Genesis to Revelation, that redemption plan and salvation for sinful men and women who are willing to ask for forgiveness and place their faith and trust in God. God's love provided the extreme on the cross where Jesus Christ was there, bleeding and suffering on our behalf, that we can ask forgiveness and be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're here today or watching. You've been wounded by a relationship. You've been abused or used by someone. You've been broken because of unwise choices. You might have had a bad experience in your family. You might have had a bad experience in even church. You may not have had a good upbringing where they loved you and you went from pillar to post. Today, God wants you to know that He genuinely loves you and has a plan just for you. He wants you to experience His love. And He offers that today. That today can be a life-changing experience for you. Unconditional love. That He cares for you. He will protect you and value you as His personal child. God offers that to you today. How would you respond to that? That kind of love. I kind of wonder, how would you not respond to that kind of love? It's not a love like this world can love. It's beyond that. And the question I want you to hear this morning, will you let the amazing Creator love you, heal you, forgive you, and give you a fresh love today by placing Him on the throne instead of you? Placing Him on the throne of your life from this day forward. Will you let Him? Will you let Him? I pray you will. Today, I want you to know that God wants you to know and experience His love. And as I prayed about this all week, I really believe God wants me to ask these questions for ones watching and you here present. God already knew who was going to be hearing His word. Here's the question. Do you really desire, do you really genuinely desire and love people enough to want them to get saved and their lives changed. Not motivated by your position, not motivated by what others do, but you genuinely, do you love and desire to see people saved and their lives changed? Because this altar is going to be here. If you love enough people, family, friends, those acquaintances, if you love and desire them to get saved and their lives to change, the altar is going to be here open for you to pray and ask God to save. And don't be general. Be specific. Talk to God. Let Him know your heart. Let Him know who you're praying for, that their lives will be changed and that they'd come to experience God's love. And if you're the one that God is speaking to this morning about that very need, that you need to experience God's love and salvation, I'll be here in the front if that's a decision you need to make. If there's another decision you need to make about joining our church or about repentance or whatever, I'll be here for you. And so, just be obedient to what God speaks to your heart this morning about. I feel His presence. I hear His voice. How will you respond? Well, Father, we come to You as humble as we know how, asking You to move on hearts this morning. God, there's people, and not just generic, but people that we genuinely want their lives to be changed and that we want them to be saved. Do we love them enough, God, to humble ourselves is the question You ask. And I pray that we answer that this morning and we respond to that. And Lord, for those that are here that don't know the forgiveness of sin, that they've been searching in all the wrong places to find love, and this morning, God, You have touched them. You're drawing them to salvation this morning to ask forgiveness, to believe in what You did for them, and to place their faith in You. God, may this be the morning that You just turn loose Your Holy Spirit in this place, even those who are watching in their place, wherever they are. Pour out, Lord. We need You to move, and we know You are. Thank You in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand for this invitation, please? God. If you love others, you want them to be saved, then take time to pray whatever God impressed on your heart this morning. If God impressed on your heart to pray in the pew, that's fine. But if God impressed on your heart to move to the altar to pray, to bow a knee and humble before Him and pray, do that. Whatever God's speaking to you about this morning, do that. Whether you're praying for someone this morning in your pew or praying at the altar, lift up specifically that person that God's placed on your heart, that family member, that friend, that acquaintance you just met. It might even be one of our leaders in our country. It may be a leader in our town. Why don't you just lift them up? Because I believe there's power in prayer. I believe that God can move if people pray. If they humbly pray, not generic, but specifically pray. Would you pray? God so loves you. God so loves that person too. He's listening this morning. Thank you, God, for hearing that prayer. Thank you, God, for hearing those prayers. It's your decision you need to make. People are praying. Would you come? What better day to experience the ultimate love of God than this day? Praise be to God for a day that we can come and experience His love and worship Him, because He is the only one that is worthy of our worship. Tell others about Him. Keep praying for that person, those persons that you lifted up to God this morning, because I believe seriously that when people begin to pray, when we pray specifically, that God will answer in His time. He'll begin to work on their hearts and lives, and we'll see people saved and their lives changed. I truly believe that He is on the verge of breaking loose in our hearts and in our churches today. And I pray the Holy Spirit just continue to in our community. Anybody have anything before we're dismissed? Something on your heart? Well, happy Valentine's Day. You can smile under your mask, can't you? I see your eyes turning when you do that. So glad you're here this morning. Thank you all. Wonderful. And thank you. Thank you. We love you. Praise God for you. Let's keep encouraging one another. And as we're dismissed, Tom Nelson, would you pray for us, please?